From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. What a weekend. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Michigan and Michigan State, they collided this past Saturday, and folks, it wasn't even close. Yes, the Spartans show that they are no little brother, putting together a 29-6 stomping of the Wolverines. And I tell you, that MSU defense is beyond good. They put on a defensive display that you rarely see in the game of college football. We'll be diving and dissecting this game in just a second. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Pleasure to have you on the show on this Monday, November 4th, 2013. Again, we're going to dive and dissect that game in just a sec, and we're taking your calls throughout this entire show on what you thought of that impressive MSU victory over Michigan and just how good can the Spartans be. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We would love to hear your thoughts on this weekend's action in that game. And if you are at work or aren't near a phone right now, you know that you can go to facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a comment there, or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Also want to let you all know that this week on Current Sports TV, we have another special guest in store for you all. You can be in the TV audience this week when my guest on Current Sports is Bob Every, the executive director of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. Every is a former prize fighter and trainer and coached softball at Lansing Community College for many years, where he led the Lady Stars to a national title. How about that? He now coaches the Michigan State University club softball team. Now, recording takes place 6 p.m. Wednesday at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free. Reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. That's Current Sports with Al Martin and guest Bob Every. To reserve your free seats to be in the TV audience, visit WKAR.org. We have a link up there right now where you can just click that link and sign up. It takes 2 seconds, people. So I definitely enjoy and look forward to seeing you all on Wednesday night as I sit down with Bob Every. All right, well, let's get to today's Current Sports. Here are your Current Sports headlines on this November 4th, 2013. Again, MSU and Michigan. All right, everyone is talking about this game. D'Antonio Spartans battered their biggest rivals for a full 60 minutes on Saturday as the as Michigan State remain unbeaten in the Big Ten with a 29-6 victory over the Wolverines. Michigan, they were sacked seven times. Yes, seven times. Finished with negative 48 yards rushing. Yes, negative, folks. The worst output in the Ann Arbor program's lengthy history. Now, Michigan State is now 8-1, 5-0 in the Big Ten. They have also won five of the last six meetings against the Wolverines. Wolverines now fall to 6-2 and 2-2 in conference play. And this was the Spartans' most lopsided win in the series since 1967. It's, you have to turn the clock all the way back to 1967, folks. Now, Devin Gardner was 14 of 27 for 210 yards with an interception. Connor Cook was 18 of 33 for 252 yards. Now, Michigan State held Michigan to negative 48 yards rushing, which breaks down to minus 49 yards on seven sacks and plus 1 yard on 22 rushes. Just 22 rushes, plus 1 yard. That's ridiculous right there. Now, the total is the fewest rushing yards in a game in school history for the Wolverines, breaking the previous low of negative 46 yards against Minnesota back in 1962. Wow, history was set on Saturday, folks. Now, the last team to be held to minus 48 yards rushing, get this, was actually MSU. Yes, which had exactly that total against Alabama in the 2011 Capital One Bowl. So, Connor Cook, he threw for a touchdown and ran for one, but this game belonged to that MSU defense, which solidified its spot among the nation's best, possibly, yeah, let's go ahead and say it, they are the nation's best defense, with an overwhelming performance on a rainy afternoon at Spartan Stadium. Shalik Calhoun and Ed Davis had 2.5 sacks each, and Danicos Allen added two more. Michigan State entered ranked number one in the nation in total defense, and the Spartans looked positively dominating for just the complete game, folks. Michigan Washington quarterback Devin Gardner was sacked 4 times in the first quarter alone. Again, we're going to dive into this game and dissect it a little bit later on. We're taking your calls throughout the entire show on your thoughts with this Michigan and Michigan State game and just how good this Michigan State Spartan team can be. Again, 517-355-9527. That's 517-355-9527. Give us a call. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports if you're at work and aren't near a phone. Or you can tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. All right, and some other Big Ten football action. Have to note that Jordan Westerkamp caught Ryan Kellogg III's tip desperation heave in the end zone with no time left on Saturday, giving Nebraska, yes, a 27-24 last-minute victory over Northwestern on Saturday. Unbelievable finish to that game. Now, the Huskers are 6-2 and 3-1 in the Big Ten now. They continue to control their own destiny in the Big Ten Legends Division. The Wildcats are now 4-5 and 0-5. Oh, man, 0-5, yes, in conference play. That's their fifth straight loss. They have not won yet, folks, in the conference. Unbelievable stuff there. Now, in 11 postseasons after it went up 21-7, Northwestern punted 10 times and was intercepted. Yes, they were up 21-7, folks. Now, Armstrong was 15 of 29 for 173 yards and a touchdown, but he threw three interceptions. Kellogg was 7 of 13 for 104 yards with one interception and the winning touchdown. Of course, Taylor Martinez was out that game. So there you have it, a last-minute heave. Hail Mary, 27-24 victory, giving Nebraska that win over Northwestern. And OSU and Purdue, Ohio State extended the nation's longest winning streak to 21 games with a record-breaking rout of 56-0. Yes, 56-0 over Purdue, folks. The Buckeyes produced the highest scoring total and most lopsided victory margin in the 56-game series, surpassing marks set in a 49-0 victory in 2010. They handed Purdue its first back-to-back shutouts in 6 decades. And the 56-point loss matched the worst in Boilermakers history. Purdue lost 56-0 to Iowa on October 28th, all the way back in 1922. Most of us weren't even thought of. And 56-0 to Chicago on November 9th, 1907. Man, a lot of history was made, folks. That's a long, long time ago. And it stays at 56. 56, I guess, is the magic number to blow out Purdue. All right, Braxton Miller went 19 of 23 before giving way to Kenny Guyton for good in the second half. Guyton was 8 for 11, throwing one touchdown pass, running for two more exactly. He finished with 98 yards rushing on 9 carries, second to only Carlos Hyde, who ran for 111 yards on 8 carries. My goodness. Now, tight end Jeff Huerman caught 5 passes for a career-high 116 yards and was one of 5 different Ohio State receivers to score. All right, I want to highlight some other Sparty action other than football around the Michigan area. Michigan State fell to number 2 Penn State 3-0 on Saturday at Jenison Fieldhouse in women's volleyball. MSU falls to 18-6 overall and 7-5 in the Big Ten. Penn State University wins its 11th straight match and avenges MSU's victory in State College earlier this season. The Nittany Lions are now 20-2 and 11-1 in Big Ten play. MSU starts a 4-game road trip now, starting next weekend, kicking it off on Friday at Northwestern in an 8 p.m. Eastern time start. Also want to note, MSU men's soccer in its 6th double overtime game of the season, the number 22 Michigan State men's soccer team edged defending NCAA champion Indiana 3-2 in Bloomington on Friday evening. Now, Tim Kreutz, he scored his 3rd game-winning goal of the season to earn the Spartans' 3rd straight win over the Hoosiers. MSU now owns a 9-3-3 record after the final road match of the season, while the Hoosiers are 5-11-1. That's 1-4 in conference play. Spartans are 2-2-1 in conference play on the season. Now, Michigan State will be back in action as the Spartans welcome Notre Dame to DeMartin Stadium on Tuesday. That's right, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. The match will be broadcast live on the Big Ten Network. So there you have that. MSU hockey, they get a weekend sweep, folks. Will Yanikiv's 4th shutout of his college career was definitely not his toughest. The Michigan State senior goaltender made 28 saves in a 4-0 victory over American International on Sunday at Munn. He said afterwards, they didn't throw many good shots on the net, so I don't know how much credit I can take. He also went on to say they didn't have many good scoring chances, but it's still a confidence boost and helps me out a bit. Hey, Yanikiv. Hey, a shutout is a shutout, fella. Good stuff there. Yanikiv's other shutouts have come against Lake Superior State and Ohio State. as a freshman and Alaska as a junior. Now, the Spartans topped American International on Friday night with a 5-4 victory, capping a sweep off. So they won yesterday and Friday. That's a sweep, folks. The Spartan sweep was their first since February 17th and 18th in 2012 when they won a CCHA series against Alaska. The last time MSU won three games in a row also came during the 2011-2012 season, which was two wins at Ohio State and one against Michigan on February 10th at Munn Arena. All right, some local high school action to note about. The East Lansing Trojans boys soccer team, they captured the Division II state title Saturday after a 2-0 victory over Spring Lake at East Kentwood. Now, I tell you what, Ben Swanson Ralph, he scored the opening goal in the first half. He was great. And DeJuan Jones added an insurance goal in the second to clinch the fourth state championship for East Lansing. East Lansing coach Nick Archer said afterwards, "It's a great feeling. I'm so happy for the kids and for the school. It's a rare experience, and it's a moment that these kids are going to remember for the rest of their lives." Now, while the accomplishment will last forever, East Lansing players say it hasn't sunk in quite yet. Senior captain Tommy Lamer said afterwards, "Everyone else was so emotional after the game. People were crying, but I felt nothing but pure joy. After the game, I was thinking that I should be getting ready for the next game. It's surreal. We've been working our whole lives for this." So congrats to East Lansing, the Division II soccer state champions. That's quite an accomplishment there. All right, after saying the organization will look for an experienced manager to replace the retired Jim Leland, Detroit Tigers selected a man who has no experience managing a major league team. And that's Brad Ausmus. Yes, luckily Ausmus has plenty of experience on the field, though after an 18-year career that included two stints with the Tigers. Yes, he was a catcher here, folks. Now, Ausmus, one of the hottest names in coaching circles, knows the opportunity to debut as manager for a World Series favorite is quite rare and seems ready to lead the veteran squad, saying, "I'm well aware that you don't generally get dropped into an opportunity with a team like the Detroit Tigers." As for the Tigers, Ausmus emerged from a pack of candidates fairly easily. GM Dave Dombrowski said, quote, "I was taken back with how impressive he was. Every time Brad's name came up, it was effusive with praise." So, yeah, I mean, they were leaning towards Ausmus pretty early in this whole managerial search. We're going to dive into that also later on. Now, Ausmus mentioned he would retain bench coach Gene Lamont. Ausmus said afterwards, "He's the guy I would have had as my bench coach regardless." So Gene Lamont will be returning. All right, Pistons and Celtics. Brandon Jennings, yes, he made his Pistons debut and seemed to fit right in, scoring 14 points in an 87-77 victory over the Boston Celtics. Now, Jennings, who wore a Rip Hamilton-esque mask for the first three quarters, seemed more comfortable with his teammates than his new headgear. He said afterwards, "Once I got rid of the mask, I was like, all right, it's time to play now. I was comfortable. I'm not used to playing with something on my face, and it was my decision to take it off. If I'm going to be playing like that, I'll pass on the mask." So the Pistons got contributions from everyone, with each member of the Smith, Monroe, Drummond trio netting 15 points in an extremely balanced effort. While the win over the Celtics is a step forward, there is still plenty of work to do. Now, Rodney Stuckey, who also debuted for Detroit after a hand injury, he limited the team's 21 turnovers, which kept an overmatched Boston Celtic team within striking distance. Afterwards, he said, quote, "We've got a long way to go. We turn the ball over a lot. That's one thing we need to focus on, taking care of the ball." Rodney Stuckey is a turnover king, one of the big criticisms I have of Stuckey. But, there you go. Brandon Jennings looked like a new man. I'll tell you, after he took off the mask, it's like he went into booth and put on a cape. He was unbelievable. But, all right, well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 4th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, call us at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527, or go to facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me. Yes, tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And today we are talking about that Spartan win over the Wolverines this past Saturday, 29-6, your final of that one. We are asking you to call in and give us your thoughts on that game. Were you at the game? Were you sitting in the stands? And, you know, what was going through your head while watching that game? And just how good do you think this Spartan team is and can be? Again, that's 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, of course, current sports, Alex Matt and I, we were at Spartan Stadium witnessing that that blowout, that 29-6 blowout over the Wolverines. Spartans getting the victory there. Some interesting things said in the press conference. I want to start with Mark D'Antonio, head coach Mark D'Antonio, as he addressed a question to start the presser, addressing a question on what does this win do in terms of recruiting. When you talk about the recruiting battle between Michigan and Michigan State, he talks about that and so much more. Take a listen.
I can just tell you that we do what we do. There are guys on their football team that we haven't offered. Okay, so let's get that straight right now. There are guys on our football team that they've never offered. So it's what you do with the players that come and what their belief system is. And our guys are believing. You know, we believe on offense. We've got a quarterback who's resilient. He makes some plays. He's young. He's still growing. It's a big, big opportunity to grow this game. And we've got our receivers catching the football. We've got a running back running. And a couple guys in there. And our offensive line is playing pretty well. So defensively, we've just been dominant, really. They haven't scored a touchdown in the last 3 weeks. So we really have been dominant. And when, in this day and age, in modern-day football, you just don't see that very often. And that's a credit to our staff, Coach Narduzzi and his defensive staff, you know, Coach Burton, Coach Tressel, Coach Barnett, and our graduate assistants. And it's also credit to our players, how they're able to adjust, right in the midstream of a game. They're able to adjust, and they play with confidence. Got a certain amount of talent out there, but when you tack on confidence to that talent level and the belief in the system and the belief in each other, you know, great things are possible. And I think we saw that today. And we just tried to stay out of all the issues with the Michigan State rivalry, all that stuff and all the talk. And I thought, for the most part, it was a pretty clean play game. So that was positive to see. You know, hard is good enough for me, to be honest with you. You play hard, you give everything you've got, you lay it on the table, you don't flinch. That's good enough for me. We'll take the losses and take the wins. Just like last year, we did the same, but we lost a couple close games. That's good enough for me. That's all I ask. You know, in the end, they've got players too, and it's a very competitive environment out there. So, you know, you get ready to play, you do the best you can. That's part of life. Losing is part of life. You got to be able to accept losing. You got to be able to regroup after that. And winning's part of the life too. And you got to learn to celebrate winning and also regroup after winning. And that's what we're going to do. We'll celebrate this one. This is big for us. You know, 5 out of the last 6 years, 5 out of 7, any way you want to cut it. But they're always going to be close. You know, at least they seem to be. So we're going to celebrate this. But when we also have to regroup, look at the big picture here and get ready for Nebraska after next week. But it'll be nice to sit and sort of allow that emotion to wear off for a week, too. So that's a positive. So the break's coming at a good time. Yeah, I thought our crowd came to play today. Had the game face on from the very get-go. Thought they were passionate. They were excited. And, you know, it was deafening down there. You couldn't hear. So great crowd by our people, Spartan Nation. And I almost tweeted out today, you know, rise up, Spartan Nation. Instead, I just think I'll tweet after the game, walk the streets. Don't burn any couches, though.
Yeah, I certainly hope there were no couches burned. I hope you guys, those who are, MSU fans out there, celebrated safely. All right. Right now, we're going to go to a call. Mike from Saginaw. Mike, you didn't burn any couches, right?
No, I didn't burn any. I didn't burn any whatsoever, my man.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
What I was going to say is Michigan State's got identity, and it was just stunning just to see Michigan being Michigan like that. It really is. And yeah. I guess when Michigan got caught up in the Rich Rodriguez scandal and everything, it's just like Michigan the kind of ball they play is pound to pound and pound away. And it's like Michigan couldn't get any traction at all against Michigan State defense.
Right.
Which really was just fascinating to watch. What got me is the crowd. What happened to the crowd Saturday? Is it because of the big screen TV? Because I did not see the bleachers being full. I seen the bleachers on the bleachers to the field was filled, but I didn't see the upper bleachers was filled.
Well, Mike, I mean, I was there. I mean, throughout most of the game, I really stopped paying attention to the crowd when the fourth quarter came. But I mean, throughout that game, it was a packed house, man.
Okay, then, because
yeah.
They were showing. I guess when second half was coming along and Michigan State was controlling the game, you could see the bleachers up in the corners of the field there, and it was empty. It's like, well,
right.
The weather, after the worst of the weather and stuff, we just get on home after the game was over with.
Right, so, right. Yeah, that's probably as the game went on. I mean, because I honestly stopped paying attention to the crowd. I mean, once that fourth quarter hit and MSU really started to stretch the game. But throughout most of the game, I mean, it was highly attended, though. It was a great crowd, Mike.
What I was going to say, too, it was just great to see them in the grass muddling along the field, man. It's
that's football, baby.
It's football like that, man. I know they getting all this money to put those turf fields down and everything else, and they trying to maximize the money costs and everything, but it's just good to see them muddle along in the football field, man.
There you have it. Hey,
right,
it was great. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Taking my call and see you. I'll call you again soon.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Mike. That's Mike from Saginaw, folks. But yeah, it was good to see that. I definitely have to agree with Mike. You know, it was just one of those, you know, hard nosed, gritty type of games, cold and rainy, just two teams going at it. And that MSU team really, that defense really showed up. I mean, if you saw Jeremy Lankford's jersey, oh my good, you could barely read his name on the back of his jersey. And don't let me get started on Devin Gardner's jersey, who was eating grass the entire game, folks. But yeah, all right, well, let's get back to, you know, some post-game bites. We got a few more to play for you. This is the MSU defense. That MSU defense, incredible. Again, they had 7 sacks on Devin Gardner, limited the Michigan offense to negative 48 yards on the ground. My goodness. Here's Narduzzi, Max Bulla, and Danikos Allen. Here's what they had to say after that one.
I don't rank them. You guys do that. We just keep trying to go week in, week out, and you know, Nebraska's on the clock, and that's what we do. You know, you never think you're going to be that good, but our kids fight their tail off every day in practice. We had, again, another great week of practice. We got, you know, a week off, and we'll have another great week of practice, you know, near the end of the week, and another great one next week, and get to go out to Lincoln.
Coach Narduzzi said it. You know, we're excited to play. We're excited to go out there, and we take that mindset that, you know, in those situations, they think they have the advantage. They think they're going to score. They think they're going to do, you know, it's a momentum change for them. And if we go out there and we stuff them and we can keep them out of even scoring a field goal, it's double. You know, it takes away theirs and it gives us momentum. So it's just an opportunity for us to change the game. You know, as a unit, you don't have a time, a much better time to change the game than you do in sudden change. And it's an opportunity that we took advantage of. Yeah, it feels good. You know, anytime you can pressure the quarterback like we did, you know, you talked about how it was a physical beat down out here. And, you know, I think that anyone watching that game or in that game would agree with you. And, yeah, that's a complete game for us. Talked about momentum, and I think this just, you know, brings us even more momentum going into our bye week. You know, we set ourselves up pretty good. Before this game, we said we're right where we want to be going into this game, you know, and now after the game, we're right where we want to be. So we got a couple games left. You know, we need to win a couple more to get really where we want to be, and, you know, the emotion's there and the momentum's with us right now. You know, this will last the rest of my life, but we got a few more games left, and the Rose Bowl is what's going to last the rest of my life. That's what I'm looking forward to. The work's not done.
That's just how our defense play. You know, we love being on the field no matter what. We can come off a turnover or whatever. You know, it just gives us more opportunity to go out there and show why we're number one defense in the nation. And I think we do a pretty good job of handling those situations the whole season. You know, since the last time we lost to them at their place, you know, I've been looking forward to this game. You know, I knew it was going to be my last one. And to go out with a win like this, you know, I couldn't ask for nothing more. You know, I give all props to my teammates. We really don't care too much about that, you know, because when we get on the field, it's us versus them. You know, you can call us what you want, call us little brother, big brother, you know. But when it's on the field, we show who's the big brother and who's the little brother. So,
well, there you have it. The little brother talk was certainly out the window on Saturday. That was MSU's defense addressing things. That was Pat Narduzzi, of course, Max Bulla, and Danikos Allen. We also have another caller, John from Holt. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, Devin Gardner just got sacked again, man.
He's still tasting grass right now, John, after that one.
He had some nightmares about our defense after that game.
Yes, without a doubt.
Hey, the best part of this win, man, is shutting the Michigan fans up, man. I love to not hear from them for a whole year about how great their team is, tradition. And I saw a pretty cool thing on Facebook. It said, from now on, the Michigan games will be shown on the History Channel. That's true, man, because all the Michigan fans, that's all they talk about is how they own us in the overall series. Well, I'll tell you what, the last 6 years, we've owned them 5 out of 6. I mean, the record speaks for itself. So
that is very true, John. And, John, I got to ask you, you know, so do you think the tides have now turned now?
I think so. And Michigan, I know they always claim they have the best recruits, 4-star, 5-star guys. but they don't have the heart or the physicality that this Michigan State team has, and that's a huge difference over talent, man. If you don't play with heart, I mean, talent's really not – I mean, yeah, you're going to live for a little while on talent, but when you play teams like Michigan State, you're going to get a beatdown like happened Saturday.
So do you think now Michigan State's going to win the Big Ten championship, John?
I think they got a great chance, man. I think they can compete with Ohio State. I would never go to say that I believe they could beat them, but I think that they could stay within at least a touchdown of them, and who knows, with turnovers or, you know, with our opportunistic defense, you never know. I just think Ohio State's never seen a team like us this year, so I think they have something coming to them as well. So well, I think they'll be very surprised with how athletic our defense is and how physical they are. Because, like I said, Ohio State really hasn't played anybody either. And so they've not definitely met up with a defense like ours. So
that's very, very true. And I tell you what, hey, thanks a lot, John, for your call. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something Max Bulla that we didn't play. But during his presser, he was asked whether or not they would love to have a chance at Ohio State. And, you know, Max, you know, typical Max, yeah. You know, they want to play the best, and they feel as though Ohio State is definitely proving that they're among the Big Ten's elite, if not the best in the Big Ten. And that defense definitely wants a shot at them, I tell you that. So, all right, well, and here's Shalik Calhoun. Shalik is just a star, I tell you. This sophomore is, you know, he's big. He plays so hard out there. He had a few sacks yesterday. Here's Shalik Calhoun, and he was asked, was this win dominant?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, if you guys say that, I'll take that, but I'll say that we were dominant. That's why I'll leave it at. You know, we were very dominant, and we were very successful, you know, with stopping the run and, you know, trying to contain Gardner. So, I mean, I'll leave it at that. I feel like, you know, the quarterback is the head of snake of every team. And, you know, when we came out ready to punch them in the mouth. You know, that's the type of, you know, defense we want to run, we want to have, and that's the type of offense we want to have. And I feel like, you know, we were able to get back there and create, you know, wreak havoc, you know, in the backfield. And, you know, you could see as the game went on, you know, he started to wear and tear, and he started, you know, to see, like, oh, okay, you know, I don't know where they're coming from. You know, I got to figure something out. And, you know, fortunately, he wasn't able to figure it out, and, you know, we were able to be successful.
Yes, and Devin Gardner at the end of that game just looked like a beaten man. You know, that last shot of him, you know, just kind of laboring to the sidelines, covered in mud, rainy. It was. You know, you looked at that moment and you just had to just shake your head and say, "Wow." You know, that MSU defense really, you know, showed the nation how good they were. And also, you know, something after that game. It's funny because the team, they didn't dump the Gatorade on Mark D'Antonio. They dumped it on Coach Narduzzi, and you know, something pretty funny. Here's a pretty cool bite on why they did that. Here's Darquez Denard addressing the Gatorade dump after the game.
Actually, we you know, we be saving the one for Coach D, but we got Coach Dudes. That's the person we was looking for. Actually, Isaiah and Nico's got Coach Dudes, so we saving the one for Coach D.
Where you saving that for?
Somewhere in Cali. Thank you.
Somewhere in Cali. That is very, very well said, Darquez. Very well said. All right, well, we'll return to Current Sports. We're going to take a quick break. When we return to Current Sports, we're going to dissect this game a bit and give you our thoughts on the MSU win over Michigan. Again, we're taking your calls throughout the entire show. We've had Mike from Saginaw, John from Holt. We encourage all of you who are listening right now, if you watch that game, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back at you.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a case that sounds like a movie plot is going to the Supreme Court. A woman tried to poison her husband's pregnant mistress. What does that have to do with the Chemical Weapons Convention? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour on the Michigan and Michigan State game. Of course, Michigan State coming out with a 29-6 victory over the Wolverines. That defense was something else, guys. Well, I'm joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke now. Of course, we were all at that game. And, guys, let's just start off real general. What were your impressions of that win?
Honestly, I just couldn't get over how satisfying it was. It was amazing. In every facet of the game, Michigan State dominated. And I think the best part, and you know, John alluded to it from Holt, he said, you know, there's no excuses. There's no alternate narrative for Michigan and their fans. There's no, you know, they were bullied, they played dirty like they were in 2011. There's no, oh, we're playing with Rich Rod's players, wait until Hoke gets his guys. This is year three of Brady Hoke's regime. Yeah. They look no better than they did 2 years ago. They look worse.
Right.
You know, you can blame, you know, Rich Rod's recruiting and the offensive line, but at a certain point, these highly rated recruits that you get have to perform. I understand they're young, but, I mean, look at Ty Conklin for us. He's a redshirt freshman. He's playing well on the line. It's not impossible to get young guys to achieve things early on in their careers, and nothing's happening there. It was a satisfying win. I'm loving that it's going to be quiet as far as trash talk for the foreseeable future, because there's no argument to be made that Michigan had any hope or prayer of winning that game. It was awesome.
Alex?
First reaction to me is pandemonium. There's no way that any Michigan fan after that game is not questioning the way their football team is built, the way they recruit, and the way their coaches have performed this year.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue, okay, it was the weather, they were away, it was a struggle. No. The better team won the game, and Michigan State's defense was dominant. Now, when Mark D'Antonio answered the question, does the recruiting battle matter? Did anything change? He gave the answer, well, there are guys we haven't offered, and there are guys, you know, they haven't offered. Well, that's the typical answer, but the real answer to that is yes, it absolutely did matter, mm-hmm. because although there are guys in Michigan in offer, the majority of the highly touted high school players, the majority of them go to Michigan, and that may be because of the tradition, maybe more of the academic side of it, plenty of reasons, but after this game, there's no Michigan winning tradition anymore, because this wasn't a game where there were injuries, there was no excuses like in the years past, there wasn't clock eight, there wasn't anything. This was just a pure out solid win for the Spartans.
So I got to ask you, I mean, you being the big Rivals man that you are, Alex Rival Shark, that's what I nicknamed you. I mean, do you think this game, how big do you think this game is
I think it's big. And what's
does it changes the game?
It does. And what's big is you're not going to see any of the instant effects this year. Because Michigan already signed Jabril Peppers. Mm-hmm. Not signed. He's committed already.
Yeah, he's burned.
But what you're going to see is next year, they already sign one of the more talented cast technicians ever in Jabril Campbell.
Yeah.
And that has to do with the addition of the new coach they got, the new recruiting coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with a lot of things. But I think there will be an in-state shift if Michigan State wins again next year. If they win one more year in dominating fashion, I think all the technicians will start to come to Michigan State.
And I'll tell you what, Curtis Blackwell, who is now MSU's football recruiting coordinator, the only football recruiter, that's his position. He called this weekend, you know, one of the biggest weekends of the year as far as recruiting goes for this football team. Of course, because you're playing Michigan, you're playing your biggest rival. And there were many recruits at that Michigan and Michigan State game, many recruits on hand, just, you know, going off word of mouth here. And I'm sure it made a big impression. But, guys, talk about the game. I want to talk about the game because, for me, of course, Stevie Wonder could see this storyline, guys. The biggest storyline of this was the MSU defense. MSU's defense, so dominant. So just they made their presence known from the start of the game throughout the entirety of the game. If there was any doubts, and you know, we talked about it last week. I even came on here and said, you know, and listed the quarterbacks, who was Michigan State played as far as quarterbacks go, and said this would be a true test to see how good and where, you know, how good really this Michigan State defense is. And they put all of those notions to bed on Saturday. I mean, they were so good. I look back at that game and say to myself, it's really tough to dissect the game from a Michigan offensive perspective, simply because I don't know what Michigan was trying to do on offense, simply because they didn't have time to do anything. I mean, whenever Devin Gardner stepped back in the pocket and you try to look at the routes that people were running and try to look at the scheme that Michigan wanted to run against the Spartans, it was impossible to dissect because next thing you know, 2 seconds later, Devin Gardner's on the ground. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was impossible to see what Michigan was trying to do. And, you know, hats off to that defensive line for Michigan State. They were so good on Saturday. So the good. Push that they got off the line was remarkable. Devin Gardner had about 2, maybe 3 seconds at the most to make a decision back in that pocket. And it seemed as though he was just running like a chicken with his head cut off the entire game. That defense totally dominated Michigan's offense, and it got under their skin, guys. If you remember that moment in the game with Taylor Lewan, that was pure frustration. Pure frustration. If you saw it, I don't know if I want to call it a punch. It was a shove. I forget who it was against, but it was a shove. Something was going on there, and you just saw a look of frustration on that Michigan offensive line that you hadn't seen all year from them.
Yeah, absolutely. They blew it. And we'll get to Lewan later because I got more thoughts on him. Cause yeah.
Did you see him in the press guy? I saw the video of the press guy.
How ridiculous.
He looked like Rocky.
Oh, my gosh. We'll get to that, though. But, yeah. You know, the big thing that people talk about when you're talking about, you know, rushing the passer is you want to drop the quarterback's eye level. So he's not looking downfield. He's looking at the guys who are about to crush him.
Exactly.
And right. After they get 4 sacks in the first quarter, you could see Devin Gardner would have guys open, but he wasn't scanning the field. He wasn't looking down to make a play. Mm-mm. He was waiting to get hit. There were a couple times where it just looked like they'd snap the ball. He'd stand there and just wait to get crushed.
He was bracing himself. Yeah, he knew
what was
coming.
He was so concerned with getting hit that he wasn't looking down the field to make plays. I mean, they had guys open, you know, here and there, but they were in nowhere near good enough position to actually capitalize on those plays. He was just waiting to get pummeled. I mean, by the end of the game, they were peeling him off the field.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, they were, literally.
Peeling him off the field.
He was a part of the Michigan State. He looked like a piece of grass after the game was done.
I felt kind of bad for him. I mean,
did you?
And Lewan said that, too. He said, I felt bad for him. And it's just like, yeah, because he was constantly on his butt, constantly waiting to get crushed, and it just kept happening over and over and over. It was
very
incredible.
True.
Incredible performance by the defensive front.
It was, and you know, it's something, you know, when you talk about college football, and we see the big blowouts and the big points from time to time. Well, every single week you see that. And to see a defensive dominant performance like we saw on Saturday is so rare in college football, and you got to appreciate it. And I thought it was very fitting that during that game, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Percy Snow tribute to that 1987 MSU defense, which is regarded one of the greatest in Michigan State history, the gangrene defense, quote-unquote, you know, and Percy Snow being, you know, honored. It was fitting that that tribute took place on Saturday in light of Michigan State's complete dominance. And, you know, I had to really pinch myself during the moment of that game because there was a moment in that game, and Matt, you pointed out, because I was sitting next to you, I believe, and you and the stats came up on the ring, and it said negative 22 rush yards. And I had to do a double take. I looked over and it said negative 22. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me, right? It's like the second quarter and they're negative yards right now. I'm like, all right, they'll get out of it eventually. You know what I mean? And then it started getting worse, negative 45. And then it hit the 50 mark. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I can't recall a football game, a college football game at that, where there was negative rush yards. I can't think of the last time I can't recall it, guys. That alone for me, and you're talking about Michigan here. You know what I mean? This is Michigan.
Al, the last time that there was that many negative rushing yards was Michigan State.
Yeah, it was
and
Michigan
Alabama.
State in the Capital. Yeah, I found it out today in the Capital Bowl. I could not believe that it was unbelievable. They finished with negative 48 rush yards. And again, this is the largest margin of victory for MSU since 1967. The historical implications of this game are just unbelievable.
And it could have been larger.
Oh, yeah, it could have been larger.
It's not like Michigan State played a perfect game offensively. Defensively, they pretty much pitched a no-hitter. But but as far as offensively, I mean, Cook still missed throws.
Oh, yeah, there were still
missed opportunities that they could have capitalized on. It could have been a lot worse than 29-6.
Yeah. Right. Very, 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 very true. All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys, and come back again. We're taking your calls throughout this entire show on the MSU and Michigan football game. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a call. We'll put you through the air, and you can give your thoughts or go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports or tweet me at Al Martin WKR. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
Iranian-American journalist Hooman Maj writes that the path of the Iranian revolution, modernity fused with religion, is unique in the world. On the next Fresh Air, he describes his year in Tehran with his wife and child. His new book is called The Ministry of Guidance Invites You to Not Stay. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we're talking about Michigan and Michigan State, 29-6. Spartans get the W over the Wolverines. We're dissecting this game. Of course, Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey are with me as well. Guys, let's talk about the offense really quick. I want to just get your overall general thoughts. We talked about it briefly before we hit the break. Matt, you brought it up. And Cook threw for 252 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Benny Fowler, he led the Spartans in receiving with six receptions for 75 yards and a touchdown. Guys, what were your thoughts? We know the defense, again, they were unbelievable. They were great. Let's talk about the MSU offense and what were your impressions of them?
All right, well, right off the bat, I mean, from the first play, you could see why Cook is a starting quarterback over Andrew Maxwell or any of the other options. And, you know, it's kind of a busted play. Pressure gets through. He rolls right. Looks back, sees Pendleton in the flat to the left, all alone, throws it all the way across the field, big 49-yard gain off the first play, not drawn up that way, it just kind of developed that
way. Going with the flow.
That's why he's the guy, because he keeps his cool when there's pressure, he keeps his eyes downfield, he keeps looking to make a play, he can extend those plays, makes a seemingly negative turn, and he makes it into a big positive. And those are the plays that he's in there for. He had the other one to Benny Fowler late when they were up 10.
Yeah.
It was third and 12. And he kind of rolled out and just floated one over the linebackers, and it drops right to Fowler in the midst of five Michigan defenders.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's why he's in the game. He's not afraid to make that play, and he's got the ability to make that play. And I think he's coming a long way. He's still not accurate.
That's
part of it. But he is the quarterback. He plays like the leader, and it seems like the offense respects him as a leader.
Alex?
Yeah, everything you said is true. And I remember, guys, I was harping on how the Greg Madison defense
was going to
upend the Spartans.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He didn't upend the Spartans, but it wasn't as bad as it was in previous weeks. It was okay. It was okay defense. But, yeah, I mean—
Have you bought into Cook, Alex?
I have bought into Cook. But what I did see probably the most, like Matt said, and even like the plays from Fowler were pretty well done. But it seems that this offense can really succeed, like the story's been all year, if the receivers are catching balls. That for me has been the biggest thing, and that's what all the receivers were harping on. We saw Benny Fowler. Now he's willing to talk to media because he's catching ball. He's making bigger plays, right?
Well, I want to get on that in just a second. We're gonna take a quick call because I got something to say about that. Jody, we have a caller. Jody, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Dominance, man. You know they dominated the Wolverines. I was gonna say little brother, uncute sister, whatever. It doesn't matter because you know we don't have now. You don't take time to worry about what someone beneath you was saying as they try to climb the ladder. Five out of six times mean that you're a dominant program over Michigan, just like when Michigan had beaten us back in the day, 9 in a row.
Right.
You know, so now, you know, you don't take time to worry about those little snide comments because they normally come from people trying to reach your level.
Right. Jody, when you heard those comments, about the whole little brother thing, what's your take on that? I mean, what were your thoughts when Fitz Toussaint said that this week?
Well, you know, four out of five, you know, you really can't, you know, he's just talking, you know, I mean, he's, You know, he sounds like he's from Youngstown, and he sounds like the Pittsburgh fans over there. And when I went home this weekend, that's all you heard them talking about, their 6 Super Bowl rings, as they're losing every week.
Right, right.
You know, so if you want to compare it to something, you know, and you don't really pay attention because now you have bigger fish to fry. But for a long time, you know, we did kind of seem like we were, you know, the not little brothers, but we kind of worried about things Michigan people had to say, or how come Michigan jumped over us and this and that. And, you know, when really, you know, just beat us. Let's beat them on the field and beat them on the court. Beat them on the baseball diamond, the hockey rink, you know.
Right.
You know, and once you whoop them, you got no time to worry about all the other. The crazy thing about the whole day was I couldn't believe that Michigan started a freshman and 2 sophomores in the front 3 of their offensive, their guard and their 2 centers. And their center and their 2 guards.
Right, right.
How are you supposed, because, I mean, I heard Lewin talk afterwards because I was doing some stuff and I was listening to his interview, and he was saying they have to learn to pick things up. They said, I'm sorry, we. So it kind of made me look that, you know, well, maybe he was, you know, pointing his finger at the, you know, the interior 3, the guard and the 2 guards in the center, that they weren't able to deal. But, you know, I couldn't, and as you looked at their depth chart, all they had were freshmen and sophomores, you know, in the depth chart. And I thought, how are they going to pick up Michigan State's blitz?
Yeah, and you saw how that worked out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because the biggest thing you get, you know, you learn from repetition and you learn from going through things and, you know, lots of film work, all that stuff. But, you know, it's very rare that you get a lot of sophomore and freshman offensive linemen that can come in and pick up the different blitzes. And, you know, it really proved itself, and, you know, and today, yesterday. And it was also crazy that, I mean, on Saturday, it took so long for them to throw passes downfield. There were no short dump-off passes or anything like that.
Well, for Michigan?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I analyze both teams when I look at a game. I want, you know, State to win, of course, and I'll look at what they did wrong.
Right.
And I just, you know, I didn't understand no drop-off passes. Every, you know, the routes seem to be longer routes, and they take time, and you don't have time against Michigan State's defense.
Right. Very, you know? Very true. Very, very well put, Jody. Thanks a lot for your call, Jody. Always
right.
A pleasure, man.
But
yeah, I thought Jody made some good points. You know what, guys? I think what set the tone, I tell you, I thought that I want to call out Darquez Denard really quick. Darquez Denard, I thought, did a really, really good job on Gallen throughout that entire game. I think from the very beginning to the end of the game, he did a good job of getting in his jersey, not getting, you know, no space. There was rarely times where I saw Gallen able to create any space. And I got to shout out Darquez Denard with that, because I did see him doing work on that area. I thought that changed a lot of the tone of the game, and kind of, it took away a weapon for Devin Gardner out there. But yeah, going back, you know, before we took Jody's call, back to Benny Fowler. Of course, Benny had a TD pass, 14-yard pass from Cook, leading receiver on the team, 6 receptions, 75 yards. I thought Benny, it was good to see Benny Fowler, you know, just have a good game. And, you know, going back to the media question, because you were there, we both went over there and talked to Benny, and Benny hasn't talked to the media in a while. Quite a long time.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, about 3 weeks. And he said he's not talking to the media until after the Big Ten championship game. Here's what Benny had to say after that game, that Michigan game.
It means everything, you know. This is complete, you know. Me being a senior and my last time playing him, you know, I wanted to come out here and, you know, finish this game off right, you know, the right way. Having Paul Bunyan back, it means a lot.
Now, you wouldn't talk with us for a little while.
Mm.
What, can you just talk about maybe what got that, and has it helped? I mean, what did it do for you, not just dealing with the media for a few times after practice?
I just have to focus. You know, it was a focus thing. You know, we're going off a bye week, so I chose to talk to the media today. But, you know, sometimes people attack you in certain ways. I'm not saying just you, but, you know, and I don't really appreciate that. You know, even Maxwell and some of my other teammates. So, you know, I just felt that, you know, I didn't talk to the media for a little bit and just focus on the season.
So you're mad at us?
Oh, no, I'm not mad at anybody. You know, you guys are just doing your job. But, you know, I got to do my job, and focus on football was my job, so the media wasn't really something I needed to do.
Are you going to talk to us now from now on?
After the Big Ten championship game.
So you're going back to not talking to us after this thing?
I mean, if you want to text me, you can see if I respond.
Thanks, man.
After that, just to get your mind right, though, right, Vinny?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just getting away and just kind of just focusing on you, right?
Yeah, just have to focus.
From a confidence standpoint.
Yeah. Just, you know, sometimes the media, you know, they don't really think about, you know, how you feel, you know, as if you're not a human being. So just had to move on from it for a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, there you go.
The horns are out, baby. The horns are out.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, if I'm fine if he doesn't talk to us and he has performance like this every week.
What if we doing? We're just asking about the game. What are we, just some evil spiting dragon?
Well, you know, I want to address it because I want to ask you guys, what do you
think?
What
are we, Brady Hoke?
Yeah, so I want to ask you guys something because when you talk about media, we're doing our job. We're doing our job. Our job is to, you know, look at the game, we you know, and analyze it here on Current Sports. And I think some players sometimes take it a little bit too personal. You know
Al,
I mean?
These are 18 to 22-year-old kids.
That's true, but we're criticizing. It's not like we're not attacking them personally. I'm just out there criticizing how the man plays. You know what I mean? I just think athletes sometimes, no matter what age you are, you got to take that. You got to take the criticism.
Honestly, it builds character. Are you going to take a break when you're in the NFL? No.
If anything, it should motivate you, if anything. I always thought it was just kind of funny when, you know, players feel as though you and they're attacking, you know, them personally. Of course it wasn't us. I mean, we don't attack people personally here on Current Sports. Maybe he heard something where it was a personal jab at somebody. But, I mean, if it's just us doing our job saying, hey, Benny, you dropped a pass here. Benny, you got to do better here. You got to be more productive. That's just analyzing your work. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Don't take it too personal. Not to Benny, but to anybody who's out there that we criticize here on the show.
Same,
as far
you're
as
in school. Your teacher tells you what to, you know, what you're doing wrong. You didn't get the math problem right. Same thing.
Wait. So you're equating the media to the teachers?
No, not the media.
I kind of agree with Alex. No.
Wouldn't that be the coaches saying, Benny, you need to work on this, rather than a guy who sits around and writes in a journal all day? I'm just saying. just saying. It's like, you know, you don't hear Benny Fowler going out and criticizing Drew Sharp.
That's
on
not his job.
Column.
That's not his job, though. People get paid. Media personalities get paid to see
to
what they
rip
see.
Rip into 18-year-olds.
You don't have to rip. Rip it is okay. How you define rip is different. If I'm ripping a guy's play, if somebody goes out there, let's use a different example. If LeBron James goes out there and just stinks up the up the game and shoots a terrible percentage, just turning the ball over left and right, I have a right. If I'm getting paid, it's my job. I have a right to go on the public forum and say, "Hey, LeBron, you played like crap." If he takes that personal, that's on him. I'm doing my job. I'm stating the facts here. You know what I mean? I'm not taking a personal shot saying LeBron. No, I'm not talking about his family or, you know, his manhood here. I'm talking about how he played at that moment.
That's the way it is. I'm sure.
If you take it personal, you take it personal.
I'm sure when they were growing up, they probably laughed at a cornerback covering him. And it was like,
yeah, people take things too personal sometimes, you know? I don't know. And that's not maybe not the, I want to put this disclaimer. It may not be the case with Benny Fowler. Maybe it may have been a media member taking a personal jab at his, you know, his family or something. I don't know. But yeah, we don't do that here.
But good for him. At least he's focused. He's got a goal in mind, and he's going to try to get
like
there.
Like I said,
with
he cannot talk to us, you know, for weeks. If he does what he did Saturday, I'm fine with that. Apachu, on line one, how you doing, Apachu?
I'm doing okay. Hey, first of all, man, I like when you guys tell it like it is. No matter how much it hurts or sometimes who it hurts, I think it makes people better players, even the ones you're being critical of the teams. You guys were hard on MSU, man. Now you're sleeping in the glory. Or sucking in glory. You guys do good work, man. Don't back off. Earl's too nice sometimes. He's politically correct. I like you guys' style, man. Don't stop.
The other thing is,
I've been a Michigan fan. I'll be 64 in a couple months. I've been a Michigan fan since I was about 12 years old. Let me tell you something, man. I never, ever saw us get beat down like that. So congratulations. You know, forget the snag, man. Play the game. And you're right. It ain't no rivalry, man. You lose 5 out of 6. That ain't no rivalry. You know what I'm saying?
So the tides is officially turned up at you.
Yeah. Hey, man, I remember when it was the Big 2 and the Little 8. Didn't like it. I love it now, man. Every game is critical. Every game is big, man. You know, let's grow up and be big boys and enjoy football, man. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, nope. You know what, Apachu? I think Alex has something
for you. Yeah, Apachu, there's an elephant in the room here, and it's actually the fact that myself, too, grew up a Michigan fan. And I completely understand because although you are probably within this area more, if you switch to become a State fan, especially when they're good right now, if you all of a sudden switch, 29-6, got to start rooting for State, then you're a Fairweather fan.
That's a bandwagon fan. You can do that.
Yeah, bandwagon. Yeah. So, Apachu, I salute your attention to detail and how true you are to your team.
Wait, I went to Michigan State only for a year. I went to Michigan State, and my wife graduated from Michigan State, but I grew up a Michigan guy. You know, they gave us a lot of good years, and there's some more coming, man. And, you know, it's still a game. It's still a game. What's his name? Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players ever. Ain't got nothing to do with manhood or anything else. It's a game, man. And let's enjoy the game. That's one thing I say about Earl. Earl said it's a game. It's the love of the game, man. You got to love the game. And I love the drama, man. And it's good. I respect Michigan State's coach. I didn't like him for years. And I tell you what, man, you got to respect that dude. It's tough.
Yeah,
I mean, he's mean. He's nasty, man. And I'll never forget when Golston punched the player, Michigan game, and got a 15-yard penalty, and the coach left him in the game. And to me, that said it all, man. you know, they're about to do battle, and I like that, and that's what Michigan got to do. You can't get pretty out there. You know, it still boils down to tackling and blocking and knocking people down, intimidating people, and talking to the person smack, you know. So it's fun. It's fun to watch. It hurt.
Yeah, there you go. That's football, hurt, baby. That's football.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, though, man. You know, I want no patsies. You know, I remember when they had the Big Eight, and same thing, Oklahoma running over everybody and so forth. Those games are not fun to watch, man. Blowouts ain't fun, you know, when they're good close games. This was an exception. I never saw a beatdown like that. And I mean, you got to respect that defense. I do think you guys got some quarterback issues still, but other than that, man, you guys got a nice-looking team. Nice-looking team. So
there you have it. There you have it. Thanks a lot, Apache.
Go green against Ohio State, man. We both hate them, but I'll see you guys later. Bye.
All right. Thanks a lot, Apache. You know, and talking about, you know, I like how Apache talked about, you know, just a battle. You know what I mean? The gritty, hard battle, you know, to bring up the ghosting moment from back in the day. And there was a moment on Saturday with, you know, concerning Taylor Lewan. Matt, I believe you have something on that, right?
I mean, he was doing the exact same things that Golston was doing and got suspended for it and, you know, just an uproar from Ann Arbor, suspended for the rest of the season. You know, he's really trying to, I mean, the helmet pull that Golston did on Denard, Lewan did the exact same thing to Isaiah Lewis at the bottom of a pile. And they have, you know, it's all on the internet. You can see all the clips.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
That's new to me.
Worse than the Drummond kind of face wash.
It happened Saturday.
Happened Saturday. Lewis on the bottom of a pile, grabs his face mask, pulls up on it. The exact same thing.
Wow.
And I understand, you know, they talked all week about we don't want to get bullied this year. It's not going to be like 2011. It was exactly like 2011, except for Lewan, and he's still grabbing guys by the face mask. I get he's trying to, you know, inspire his guys. Let's play tougher. Let's stand up to him. It doesn't help when you cost your team 15 yards and you're moving back even more than you already are.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the cut on his forehead.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah, he looked like Rocky in the press conference.
A, it's raining out. B, there's towels everywhere. Just wipe that stuff off,
wipe
man.
It off.
You don't look that cool in a 29-6 loss because you got blood streaming down your face.
So you think he left it on purpose?
I think he did.
Yeah, they just leave this on purpose.
I mean, his jersey's clean and his quarterback is covered in dirt. There's a disconnect there. You know, quit talking about yourself, Taylor. And when they asked him in the postgame, how did you match up with Shalik? How tough is he to handle? Or, you know, what was the challenge he presented? He said he wasn't a challenge at all. He only matched up with me twice, and I handled him. Have a little humility. You just got blown out on the road by your rival in your senior season. You are the captain of the offense.
Right.
And you get embarrassed like that, and that's how you address it?
Right. I totally agree.
The guy's
agree.
Immature.
I didn't know that he – did that come out? I got to look at it today. I don't know
show
if
you
came
after
today.
The show.
Yeah, well,
it's
I'm going to look at that. I had no idea. But, I hate seeing stuff like that, you know. And when it – I mean, I understand, you know, it's a rivalry. Like Apache said, this is two teams who hate each other. Rivalry, historic rivalry has been going on for years. You know, things were said this week, the little brother comments from Fitz Toussaint. I'm sure all of those emotions collided on Saturday. And you know what? It was one of those things where that MSU embarrassed Michigan so bad that, you know, you take it personal. You start taking it personal at a point when your rivalry's doing it to you, and then you saw the backlash from Lewan. But, man, that's not the way to do it, though. I mean, grabbing players' face masks at the end of piles, I mean, that's just dirty. You know what I mean?
As the senior All-American captain
on
a unit where you're supposed to be the leader, that's not how you lead.
Exactly. Not at all. So, all right. Well, we're gonna play some more Bice tomorrow. We're going to dive into it a little bit more tomorrow. I mean, it's Michigan and Michigan State. We'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow. Thank you all for your calls today. We didn't get to the new Tigers manager. You guys surprised about the new Tigers manager?
Very surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Asmus, he has no managerial experience. Asmus, excuse me. He has no managerial experience. And, you know, he was a former Tiger catcher, I believe. And, you know, when they made the move, you know, we had Dan Dickerson on here last week talking about, you know, how he barely even, you know, brought up Asmus at all. I don't know. It's a surprise. We're going to dive in that tomorrow, dissect that a little bit. But all right, there we have it. Special thanks to everyone that contributed to this episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.